Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
That's right. Oh. Yeah, a lot of stuff happened today. President-elect Trump had his first press conference. It was interesting, to say the least. Kind of a roast, kind of funny, if you didn't hear it. Probably talk about it later. Obama said goodbye to the American people last night. Still president, but he bid adieu to the president. We were talking last night about who could we get to play the White House inauguration. Now, producer Phil, you say they're saying the inauguration is going to be so big that they're going to have extra towers for cell work?
Cell companies are rolling out mobile rolling cell towers to keep up with all of the people who are going to be in town.
Now, were you there for the last two inaugurations?
No, I just went to Obama's first one.
And it was
the only
big
one I've ever attended, and I really don't want to attend another one.
Was it a nightmare?
It was cold. It was crowded. The security things were just unbelievable. It was just a real pain in the butt.
Yeah, that's what I feel like this is. You know, I'm at that point in my life where it's like, if somebody wants to take me to a concert, producer Anthony here is a spry youngster. He's a bit older than me and Phil, but he's a spry youngster. Producer Anthony does 1,000 times more than we do, Phil. He is not afraid to drive to L.A. and go watch a concert. I will not go across the street to watch a concert. I won't, because I don't like crowds. I'm at that point in my life where I'm a stay off, you know, music's too loud, stay off my lawn kind of guy. But I'm not a big fan of the crowds. And I couldn't imagine if they're saying how big this is and still nobody's stepping up. And I got a tweet last night from somebody and a couple text messages. And thank you for that. It's not just the Nuge that likes the Trump. Yes, kids, the Rock, the kid of the Rock, likes the Trump. And I think it would be the greatest ever epic performance if he just came out and laid the hammer. First of all, you know he'd come out in a pimp-ass fur coat with a wife beater underneath, Pabst Blue Ribbon, smoke in his hand. The curtain would drop and there'd be two, how should we say this, well-developed young women in Confederate flag bikinis and G-strings spinning around a pole, and he would bombity-bomb, dang to dang, diggy-diggy-diggy, up-jump, the boogies, whoop-whoop, he would do that. He would say, I want to be a cowboy. That right there sounds like fun. You're like, man, I hope they do one of these every week. Right now, though, it's a marching band and a guy with the accordion. Phil, producer Phil, you know who's going to play it? It's the dude in the accordion picture that I sent you.
Absolutely. You know, they can ask me. I'll play.
Hey, you know what? We'll see if we can get you on the ticket. At this point in time, beggars can't be choosers. They might come to me. They may get a bunch of kids who know how to play the damn recorder at this point in time. Parents would never allow that. Oh, my kid's not going to that because I'm far more socially inclusive than he is. So I watched Tillerson today, Rex Tillerson. You don't know who he is. Look, if you don't know who he is the CEO of Exxon, and President-elect Trump has tapped him to be the Secretary of State, and he was being grilled today. They're grilling everybody from, you know, I saw Cory Booker and them just tearing apart AG Amini Sessions. And it was funny, if you listen to Jeff Sessions, and I think that this is just us, and it's here's the bias. This is a perfect example of a bias, and we've had this before. If you have a British accent, right? So you talk like this, right? What's up? How you doing? My name's, you know, whatever. My name's Nigel. People are like, wow. Like, Nigel could be like, he could be missing teeth, and you know, he got his eye taken out by like a cat fight. Literally, he got in the middle of a cat fight where cats are fighting and his eye fell out. He's an alcoholic. And you're like, oh, God, that guy just sounds so awesome. And then, you know, Jeff Sessions, you listen to him. He's like, well, let me tell you a story right now. And I mean this and I got it to be true. And the whole time you're thinking to yourself, this guy's probably the biggest idiot in the world. There's a bias right there. Am I right? I mean, that's a fair bias. Because we think Nigel is just fantastic, right? He's got to be brilliant. Listen to his voice. His voice is absolutely amazing. And we think Jeff Sessions is just, you know, he's just, he's a knuckle dragger, probably in the Klan based on his accent. And there's a bias. There's a perfect example of a bias. It's like when we did that, our dear leader, what's his name? Is he the dear leader? I don't even know what leader this is. He's our leader. He's the leader, the little one, Kim Jong-un. I forgot what he is. We did a parody, remember? And people bitched, oh, you did an accent. But yeah, an accent's not a race. That's what he would sound like, right? And I said to people, if I do a British accent, you don't know if I'm black or white. I could be playing a black man. You don't know that. Ralph Fiennes is playing, Joseph Fiennes playing a black man. Nobody's bitching about him. You don't know that. It's just an accent. But there's a bias. And I was listening yesterday, and there are people just like, and I see that the comments, man, that guy just sounds like a dumb hillbilly. Not realizing how absolutely smart Jeff Sessions is, not realizing that the dude is bright. Like, he got big brain. But the bias we have, we do. We absolutely have that bias. And again, Nigel gets away with it, gets all the ladies until they find out he's missing an eye from a cat fight. And he's got no teeth, and his liver's pickled. Chad. But I was listening today to Tillerson, and he was giving a lot of... First of all, you're going to be, as, and I think rightly so, as Marco Rubio put it, you're going to be the second most powerful man, probably, in... and he said, you know, no deference to the... and not meaning anything to Pence, but this is the second most powerful and important position in government. I think it's true. I think if you are the, you know, Secretary of State, you are, I think, the second most powerful person in government. And because you deal with big things, right? Like, let's be real. I mean, Pence is a nice guy. Did you see he brought all of his animals? He's like Noah, for God's sakes. He brought so many. He brought a bunny. He brought a bunny. Have you ever seen, what kind of, did he get a condo? What did they give the vice president? Did they give him a nice house? He gets a townhouse? Oh, wow, that's great. He gets to sleep on a cot in his office. But I was listening to Tillerson today. And, you know, look, you first and foremost, they asked him a lot of questions about, like, climate change. Because the left is climate change is the biggest threat to mankind and humanity. And I think he was very, it's like, look, I'm an engineer, I'm a scientist, I'm a bright dude. I want to see more evidence. But we need to be at the table at all of these things. We need to find out. And if we're going to do it, we all have to do it together. And I thought he was very good. And I think they were awkwardly receptive towards that. It didn't get the ugly parts came from Marco Rubio, who didn't seem to be a fan. And one of the reasons he didn't seem to be a fan, and we'll play, is these two cuts right here. And this kind of exemplifies why some people on the left are worried about him and his relationship with Putin. Play cut number three, please.
Russia today poses a danger, but it is not unpredictable in advancing its own interest. It has invaded the Ukraine, including the taking of Crimea.
So your recommendation would have been to do a more robust supply of military?
Yes, sir. What Russian leadership would have understood is a powerful response that indicated, yes, you took the Crimea, but this stops right here.
Yeah, I thought that was a very good thing. And they asked him that. But see, here's the thing. You can be tough, but how tough are you going to be is the worry from a lot of people. Then they ask him about the open dialogue with Russia and everything. And then, of course, is Putin a war criminal?
Words alone do not sweep away an uneven and at times contentious history between our two nations. But we need an open and frank dialogue with Russia regarding its ambitions so we know how to chart our own course.
Is Vladimir Putin a war criminal?
I would not use that term.
And that's what scares people. Putin and him have a relationship. Look. He tried to get him to say, because understand, this guy has interests everywhere. You think that Trump is connected? This guy is on every continent on Earth, including that giant frozen one. This guy is connected. All of the people that Trump is going to meet over the time as president, this guy's met him. This guy sat in their house and broke bread. And Rubio came down the hardest of all of the people that were grilling him today. Senator Rubio came down hard on him, which is understandable. I want them to do that. And some of it was showboating. Some of it was. But I think the guy's going to do a good job. I think he is going to get through. One of the things I was surprised about that he said that is the most honest thing that I have heard maybe anybody in politics say in a very long time was they asked him about Israel and the Palestinian questions that are out there. And he said, look, they got to figure this out for themselves. No coercion from any country in the world is going to settle this dispute. It's those two who need to do it. And I was like, wow, that is spot on. Like, that's the truth. And Anthony pointed out, Chad, you know, she said, Chad, you're right. It's like smoking or whatever it is that you want to quit. It's until you decide you want it done, it isn't going to get done. And no matter what happens, we cannot coerce these two people to sit down and to come up with some form of strategy and plan that will stop them from, you know, hating each other. I liked it. We'll see what happens. He's a very interesting character. He's a very bright guy. He was much more versed, even though he's been getting drilled and on these things over and over again with people around him. I think he's a bright enough guy, and I think he gets it. And as he said, look, you know, I'm leaving everything behind. I'm going to do this. This is going to be my gig. My president asked me. I said yes. So, you know, and he's given up some money. Yes, he's getting a ton of money. Money's earned over his lifetime of working and obscene profits, as one person said today on the panel. But by the way, that was great. Somebody said to him, will you get subsidies? And he said, look, I want to go back to the subsidy things. We don't get subsidies. We get tax breaks that are inside of the tax code that every corporation can use. Nobody gives us money. We get tax breaks. Those are not subsidies. And you could have heard a pin drop, and they're all kind of like looking at each other like, well, okay, that's true. It's very interesting. Very interesting, Kerry. We'll see what happens. Rex Tillerson, you couldn't pick him out of a lineup, but he could and probably will be your next Secretary of State. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. What's next? We do it next, and this time it's about the intelligence community and this guy called Trump. Chad Benson Show.
Oh, yeah. I'm already hooked.
And we're just getting started.
Whoop-dee-doo!
This is the Chad Benson Show.
Tillerson's on the Hill, getting grilled left, right, and center. The biggest grilling and the biggest, I think, finger wagging came from Marco Rubio, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. We'll get to what's next for in the intelligence world. But first, Shane and Indy, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah,
I was not real impressed with Rubio's questioning of Tillerson. I thought it was almost borderline disrespectful. The questions he was asking, I mean, it was kind of putting him in a corner, because if he went and called, yeah, Putin's a war criminal and the Saudis are terrible and the Chinese are, and then he gets in and he's supposed to go shake their hands now. And I mean,
it really kind of
backed him to the corner, and I don't know if this was kind of payback because Trump embarrassed Rubio. I just don't understand it.
Absolutely, it is. Absolutely. And look, I'm sure at some point in time he is going to, over the next couple of days, that they will, there will be some, you know, closed door meetings. If he's really needed, which I don't think he will, Tillerson seemed to be liked even by the Democrats on there. They didn't seem to hammer him too hard. I think this was a bit of showboating, but there was a bit of payback, no doubt. There was a bit of politicking going on. Some of it may be a message to Donald Trump. You're not getting everything you want as easy as you think.
And the second point I would like to say is everything that Rubio was citing was news, and Tillerson's response was, I just need more information. I understand there's classified information that I would have access to that may change my mind. I thought that was a perfectly reasonable response, and Rubio was hammering it. Like, it was just a ridiculous response to the question. Well, who believes news anymore? They've lost complete legitimacy in many people's eyes. I mean, why would you make judgments and start calling people names off the news reports that he's citing?
I agree 110%, man. Thanks so much for holding on. Appreciate that, Shane. And look, I think Tillerson did a great job, and some of the stuff he talked about, he says, look, I know that these are classified things. I've not seen those, so I can't make a full judgment based on what you've told me. I'll give you that, but I can't tell you 100%. And, you know, it was a lot of grandstanding. Rubio saying things about, perfect example was Saudi Arabia. You know, women can't drive and they can't get educated, you know. And it was a grandstanding-like situation, but I think it was a message as much as it was anything else. I don't think Tillerson's going to have any problem getting through confirmation. I think today, even the Democrats, I think were a little impressed by him, or at least some of the worry was taken out of there. What's next? We do it every day at this hour, at this time, for the intelligence world. And we're not have a lot of time to touch on this today, but I will tell you this. The intelligence world's got a black eye on their face. Now you're hearing stories that maybe the FBI and the CIA and there was politics being played not only with Hillary, but also with Trump, and that there's a lot of things going on here. And know this, I think Trump is going to hold people accountable, and I think he's going to have some skeptical eyes pointed at both the FBI and the CIA and our intelligence community, because he wants them to get it right, and he wants them to do it sans the politics, which we can't do anymore because we're human beings, and nowadays we lead with our feelings. But it's going to be a contentious relationship, I think, for the next 4 years, which doesn't mean it's going to be horrible for us, the people. Many times, some of the best relationships in working relationships, people don't always get along, but the job gets done, and it gets done in such a way that's amazing. But I do think it's going to be a very contentious relationship, especially at first. And by the way, I think James Comey is the one that everybody's going after, like you can't believe. He is hiding somewhere, according to our roving reporter, Anthony, who says he's in Guam, which I don't think is true. Because Anthony's right here, so he wouldn't know that. I got so much stuff to talk about. Tipping! Krispy Kreme! Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
That is Marie Osmond. She is begging to play the inauguration. Nobody is hearing the plea. Now, producer Phil, you typed in Marie Osmond. What's the first thing that came up?
Marie Osmond has an accident on stage.
She peed herself. Might be perfect for President Trump. Oh, my God. Oh, my Lord. Nobody wants her. Man, she is begging. She just played. Her and her brother just played here. You know they're still touring. They're still touring. And they're probably getting $200,000 a night to run out on stage. And what was their big hit? I'm a little bit country. You're a little bit rock and roll.
I don't know.
You should know these things. Come on. It was just nobody wants any part of it. Puppy Love? Did they do Puppy Love? Or did he only do Puppy Love? I don't know. He had huge teeth, though. That's what I do remember. They had to saw him down when he got older. Chad, you're a jerk. You know they'd have played the if Mitt would have won. He'd have the Osmonds there. Chad, and nobody would have quit the Tabernacle Choir then. Goodness me, you are feisty today, sir. Shake Shack, founder. Danny Meyer is not a big fan of what he calls one of the biggest hoaxes pulled on an entire culture, and that is tipping. He says tipping is actually one of the biggest hoaxes pulled on an entire culture, the American culture. The restaurant industry, as well as the Pullman train car industry, successfully petitioned the United States government to make a dispensation for our industry so that we could not have to pay our service, mostly because this is during the, just after the war, they could essentially hire blacks, not have to pay them, and then they could work for tips, right? They could work for tipping. Tipping, we, they did not come up with tipping. The English used to tip, and, you know, so that way you could get your, how should we say this? You could get your person to pay more attention to you, if you will. A little bit more ale in my thing. A little something, something for you, right? Yeah. But as he talks about it, first of all, you got to turn everything else in this culture into what? Yesterday we talked about people being hit on the side of the road and cars. We got to turn that into a racial thing. This is a racial thing, too. Because now the way he looks at it is most of the people that are working behind in the kitchen area who are making a minimum wage and not getting any tips are people of color. And white people are working out there and they're getting tips. But they're still not making a you know, they're still getting low wages. Now, I'm a huge fan of tipping. I think tipping is great. I said earlier there, I'm one of these guys who, you know what, you have to do something horrible for me not to tip you. I mean, and it's like, Phil, have you ever left a tip for somebody?
I have never not left the tip. I have left small tips at time, one time or another.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I have gone in so much as to not have cash, and I've returned the next day, and I've given cash. I've done, because I believe in tipping, especially for good service. Remember, if you have bad service, you'll tell the world how crappy it is. Understand, too, this is one thing I don't think he didn't take this into mind, because when you go to a restaurant, it's experience. Right? As much as it did anything. Because I've gone to restaurants where the experience was bland, but the people were great. You know, I mean, the food was great, but the experience was bland. And I've gone to a restaurant where the food was okay, but the servers and the waiters and the waitresses and everybody else, they were good. It was fun. It made the experience better. And most people I know that have been server, and maybe you're one of those people out there, you can always text the show if you want, you know, if you're a server, do you want to keep tipping or should you just have a fair wage? You're 323-538-2423. You can also call the show 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. But when I was looking at this, you know, he talks about, well, we need to give everybody a fair wage across the board and no tipping, and we need to raise prices 30 to 35%. So that way we can compensate all of our employees equitably, competitively, and professionally. It's about experience. It is. Dick's Last Resort. If you've never been to a Dick's Last Resort, they're awesome. We've talked about it before on the show. They treat you horribly, and that's part of the fun, but they do it in jest, and they do it in such a way as to partially offend, mostly to make you feel welcomed, and it's amazing. It's a great time. That's part of it. And every one of us has somebody that when we go to a certain place, we're like, oh, I like this server. And I'll request him. Case in point, John here, the czar, has a lady that every time we go to this place called Elmer's over here, he always has to go to her. Always. Always goes to her. When we go to Red Robin, which we do too frequently, you know, he's got people that he will, all of them he'll sit with except for one. And he requests not to sit with the guy because the guy is horrible as far as he's concerned. It's part of the experience. And servers make great money. And they'll tell you that. See what's happening in Seattle, where the people that were getting tips, yeah, they were only making $2.35 an hour, $4.50 an hour, whatever they are. Now they're not getting tips anymore. And yeah, that's great. They're getting 12, 14, 15 bucks an hour. But you know what? They were making 30 bucks an hour. They were pulling down 100 bucks a shift. And they were only there for 3 or 4 hours. And now they're not. What do you want? I'm sorry. I like the experience of tipping. I think it's important. Plus, it also is one of those things where you're working for something, right? Isn't that part of it? You're working. You're busting your butt. The better you are to me, the more attentive and also not attentive you are to me, depending on what it is, getting that feel, the more that you're going to make. You're making an effort. You're working harder for something. It's part of the experience. People don't get that, though. It's all about equitable. Sorry. I like it. I love the tipping side of things. And you have to do it. You can't get rid of it. I don't know why. Why are we so always wanting to get rid of stuff? And the funny thing is your food really worth a 30 to 35% increase? Ask yourself that question. Is your food really worth that 35% increase? I bet you no. Right? I bet you your $8 hamburger is going to be $10.50 now, and all of a sudden my what used to be a $12 lunch is costing me $18. And you know what? I don't feel like coming to your establishment anymore. I don't care how equitable it is. I don't. I've never eaten at the Shake Shack. It's interesting though. It is interesting. But when I see stuff like this, understand this is all the political side of the world that we live in. We have to make everything politics. Doesn't matter what it is. Yesterday it was one of those situations where yes, it was pedestrians and we had to turn it into a race thing. It's the same thing here. Back in the day, they found a way to skirt paying blacks, and all of a sudden now they found a way to put the blacks in the back of the restaurant and put the whites out there, and they're making more money. It's everything is politics, everything from top to bottom, and it drives me crazy. And as a person who's worked for tips before, I have news for you. It's good. It's a good thing. It's insane that this is what we do, that we have to turn it into politics. And I like the tipping side of things. And I will tip too. And by the way, just because you think tipping's not good doesn't mean that other people don't. And doesn't mean that I won't. I've left some good tips too, man. I've left some good tips. I want to get to that point in my life where I could leave one of those tips, you know. You see somebody, some guy's paying for a school, and he's working two or three jobs. You know, I was a couple weeks ago, we were at, it was about a month ago, I was with my friend, and we went to the Cheesecake Factory, and he's not hurting for life, and he goes to the same waitress every time. They eat there the same time every week, and she's always there, and he throws her $100 every time. A good guy. Like, that's a solid human being. I love that stuff. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. Do you think we should get rid of tipping? Do you? 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can also email us, and better yet, you can tweet right at my face, at Chad Benson Show. ChadBensonShow. Little say what, and boy, do we have some say what in there, including the demon doll. What month is this? And we've got a response from Floyd Mayweather, and will he or won't he fight Conor McGregor? It's the Chad Benson Show.
Something is going on here.
Say what?
Well, good luck with that.
You're listening to the Chad Benson Show.
Oh, gotta love it. Guy keeps calling in, and he wanted to tell me. He didn't know. And by the way, sir, I got your message. I am a piece of effing bleep horrible Republican, and my ass got beat by 3 million votes. You got me there. You got me there. And for a second prize, what do we get Hillary for not winning? And if you think the Russians, look, did they interfere or not? And probably. Were they a part of stuff? Probably. Do I really care? No. Did it sway my opinion? No. Did I vote for either one of them? No. So there you go. Move on with your life, sir. Move on with your life. Shane, you want to talk about tipping? We were talking about tipping and should we keep it or not? A lot of people have texted in to talk about that. What's up, man?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a 22-year-old senior at IUPUI down here in Indianapolis, and I agree with them. The people doing that, I tip at least $20, $30 every time I go out. No point not to. The people aren't getting paid too much, and I used to work valet getting paid $3 an hour, so people give you that 100 spot, they give you that 20 spot. You know what I mean? Something to see, and hey, a lot of people don't make the money out of it, so tipping is, I think, a very quality
thing.
You
know, the thing is, the whole thing is, Shane, they're saying, well, you know, if we give everybody an equitable thing like $12 or $15 an hour or whatever it is, you know, $18 an hour, that it's going to be equitable for everybody. But, you know, servers I talked to when I worked and lived off tips, I tipped the people that helped me and threw them a few bucks. Everybody seemed to be doing somewhat okay. And I never knew a server that wanted to change to just a flat rate because they always made more money.
Yep, I wholeheartedly with you. You know what? it shows the value of the people who are going out there. I did that way, of course, like that. And I see these people going out there. You look that way of life, what they are and where you want to be at. So you see that, it gives you that encouragement to, hey, I want to move on. I want to do well. I want to get my degree so that I can be that guy who's being able to drop the 100 spot that you're talking about like that.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I appreciate that. Thanks so much for your call. And again, it's tipping is one of those things. You know, I got a couple texters writing in saying, leave tipping where it is. You're working for your money. And I think, you know, I think it's true. You text the show 323-538-2423. And if you want to call and insult me, feel free to do that as well. I am an open line to insults. I don't care. I fire back, though. I tell you that. I will fire back and come with some facts and not your feelings and your anger just because you lost. Sounds like a sore loser to me. Sounds like a sore loser. Little say what for you. Floyd Mayweather threw something back at Conor McGregor. Look, Conor McGregor needs Floyd Mayweather a lot bigger than, you know, than Floyd Mayweather. You know, I mean, Conor needs Floyd. Floyd doesn't need Conor. Floyd's rich. Conor's got a lot of money, but he doesn't have that kind of money. The kind of scratch that Floyd has is pretend kind of scratch. It is. I mean, like, he looks and just goes, he bets more on a weekend than Conor has. Even though Connor's doing better than 99% of us in the world. But he threw something out at him. And if you're Conor McGregor and you saw what happened to Ronda Rousey and you saw how fast the shine can go out of something and you saw how fast that it could all go away and Floyd comes up to you and he said, look, I'll fight you. I'll give you a cut of the pay-per-view and I'm going to give you $15 million. Knowing your biggest purse has been two or three, don't you think about taking that? You got to think about taking that. There's got to be a thought process that, you know what, I think I'd take that. I would. Because, first of all, I think it would be the biggest fight in history because we would like something. That would be bigger than Soulja Boy and Chris Brown. But wouldn't you take that? Hell yeah. Producer Phil, do you think that you would take something like that if you're Conor McGregor? Knowing that you just saw Ronda Rousey, the biggest star in the UFC, lose for the second time, and you've lost one of your last two fights, and how fast the shine can go off in this, don't you think about it?
Oh, absolutely, man.
Because you think, if it's the biggest in history, and I get 10% of that, and it does God knows how much, I could triple my $15 million. I could maybe make 45 on top. I could make $60 million. It's not 100, but it's close. And it's going to take me a long time of fighting a bunch of scrubs and a bunch of badasses to get to $60 million in the UFC. Oh, hell yeah. I'm jumping all over that. Like, I am all over that if I'm him. Absolutely. You've got to, right? You've got to do that. You'd be a fool not to. Demon-possessed doll. I have seen it. It's creepy as hell if you've not seen it. They've got those nanny cams. It's called the haunted doll. Its head twists. Its eyes kind of move around, and then crap starts flying everywhere. It's weird. I don't know. Look, do I think there are ghosts and goblins? Maybe not goblins. Do I think there potentially could be spirits? Huh. Are spirits any different than, you know, when it's funny, you talk to scientists and like scientifically, it's not possible. There's no spirits. And they'll say stuff like that. Yet then they're also telling me that there's a different dimension. So could this not be something from a different dimension that's just partially here? I don't know. But it has been terrorizing a young girl. It's made the room shake. A father set up a camera. It's happened on a few different occasions. It is creepy, man. It is creepy. Here's the thing, though. What if it's not really that? What if dad's just screwing with the little girl? There's always that, too, right? There's always that dad that thinks this is funny, and he's screwing with his little girl, and she's going to, like, stab him when she gets older because she's going to hate him because she's going to have to go to therapy for the rest of her life because she thinks the doll, and it's one of those creepy dolls, too. My grandmother had one of those. Well, she didn't have one. She had a room of about 1,000 or 2,000 of those porcelain dolls with those eyes, with the eyelashes that would just slowly close and open. She had those. And they were terrifying. I go to her house, and you go down, and she had like a downstairs where the bathroom was. Right next to it was that room with the dolls, and it was like this. I don't need to be here. I don't. I'm going to go Marie Osmond right now. I don't need to be in this place. Chad, you went right back at Marie Osmond. I'm sorry, Marie. Nobody wants her. That's a sad thing. She is begging. She's like, I'll play. He's like, anybody else? I'll play. Anybody else? I'll play. Anybody but Donnie's sister wants to do this. Anybody but Donnie's sister with an incontinent problem want to do this. Anybody? Chad, you are the worst person I've ever met. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text thine program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Please do. You can also email us, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Your love, your hate, any of it, come at me, at Chad Benson Show. Please do, sir. That was a solid fun hour there, kids. I think we're going to stretch. We're probably going to have some nourishment, and we're going to see if we can do this even better, or at least as half-assed as what we just did. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.